I'm going to now introduce Dr. Kimberly Schoaf. Dr. Kimberly Schoaf is an associate professor and associate chief for community engagement for the Division of Public Health at the University of Utah. Her experiences in the qualitative and quantitative methodologies for studying disasters. Her research in emergency public health includes the study of the health impacts of various hazards with an emphasis on earthquakes, casualty estimation modeling for earthquakes, and other natural and human-induced hazards. The study of public health workforce issues relative to the field of emergency public health, as well as the study of factors related to the resilience of health systems. So welcome. And I need to talk to you afterwards because my other life is in disaster risk reduction in Haiti. So, so happy to learn that about you.
And as I told the session last night, I have, not only do I have no relationships to disclose, I have no relationships, that's it, I'm done. So this talk is a collaborative effort to talk about collaboration. This is fostering collaboration for preparedness between public health and school systems. This is a project that was an effort between the UCLA PERC, Preparedness and Emergency Response Research Center, which I directed at UCLA prior to joining the faculty at the University of Utah, and the University of Utah Public Health Division, and our Davis County Health Public Health and School Districts in Davis County, Utah. As we all know, the public health system is a broad and varied system that includes a lot of different points of contact. And when we look at this, oftentimes we think about the public health agency as the center of that, but there are, you know, different points that are going to take the lead on different pieces of this. And when we look at at-risk populations, particularly children under the age of 18, that is a very large population that is at risk from multiple hazards, and it is the responsibility of schools, mainly, to take care of that population through most of the day. There are about 55.5 million students enrolled in schools in the United States, about 20% of the U.S. population. We started this study. It's got kind of small in here. So we started this study. We were looking at. We did some focus groups with key informant interviews with both local health departments and their school partners in Utah. And we asked them about what they were doing and how they looked at participation and collaboration between those two. They perceived that they had very high collaboration, at 4 out of a scale of a 1 to 5 Likert scale. And both the local health department and the schools felt that they had very good collaboration. Local health departments, however, in that collaboration, they tend to use pretty standard communications strategies like telephones and emails, and it's oftentimes a one-to-one communication. Somebody in the health department has a connection in the school or the school district, and there's that one-to-one personal communication. And social media and shared servers are very, very infrequently used to share information. They also were looking, there's a lot of work and a lot of thought process about absenteeism surveillance as a really important indicator of possible community-wide infections. We know that children often are the first people to present when there is a community-wide outbreak. And so there was a goal to be able to find a more timely bidirectional system that would allow electronic collaboration between schools and public health to identify absenteeism as a potential for an early indicator of outbreaks. As we started looking at this, we started talking about how we would do that. Most of the surveillance systems in use within public health right now look at oftentimes a 3-sigma aberration as an indicator of something going on. And we realized that that 3-sigma is not sufficient. It really is only a very extreme events that are ever identified with a 3-sigma aberration. And so we started looking at some different ways, and we were particularly looking at the Western Electric sensitizing rules to be able to look at different ways of looking at potentially signaling something that was going on. And so we have these different, these are the Western Electric rules that include, and we added a three sigma warning above to that. So if there was a signal for one day above three sigma, that has a probability of occurrence of about 0.15%. A sustained 2 to 3 sigma, so 2 out of 3 days between 2 and 3 sigma above the mean, that has a slightly higher percentage probability of occurring. 4 out of 5 days, 1 day above 2 sigma, then 8 consecutive days above the historic mean. So even if it may just be a slightly above the historic mean, but 8 days above the mean probably means something is going on. And then a sustained increase, even depending on where it starts, the probability of that occurring varies a great deal depending on where it starts. And we color-coded these different potential signals, utilizing the similar color scheme that we use for, that is used for the National Weather Service alerts and other types of alerting systems. We took that and then we looked at some analysis. We created the system and we compared the weekly system that the Health Department School District in Davis County were using to hospitalized influenza cases. And we looked at from 2009 through 2014. And they were manually, the school district at that point in time was manually downloading data weekly, absenteeism data weekly, at the school district level. And they were we were analyzing that. So we looked at that and compared that. Using the Western Electric rules, we would have identified, in two of those seasons, we would have identified the outbreak before the actual outbreak occurred. And it was anywhere from 1 week to 2 weeks before the outbreak actually hit its peak in the hospitals. And in 2012-13, we would have done it simultaneous to that peak. In one season, in 2011-2012, there was no signal before or during that, but it was a very mild and late season, so you know it may not have gotten to a point where it would have been signaling anything. And then during the pandemic season of 2009-2010, it was late, and that's potentially because it was already started when school started. So we didn't have the data to be able to start looking at that before it started. So it was really the epidemic was already in full force when school started that year or at the beginning of the school year. We had a process of designing this electronic platform. We had the goals of improving the reporting timeliness. Getting data at a weekly level was a problem because oftentimes what the school said was, oh, we've looked at the data and said, oh, last week we had an outbreak, which was not really very helpful. We wanted automated data retrieval because having to go in manually to download the data was extremely time intensive and labor intensive on the part of an epidemiologist at the health department. And we wanted to have some sort of an automated reporting system with a dashboard that could be shared between both the school district and the health department so that everybody would have access to this and they could then look at screenshots of what the reports were, but then with the ability to drill down to the data at finer levels should that become necessary. So we started with a working group that shared their wants and needs for the platform and what they wanted to have included in that. And then we had a software team working with us that developed those features. The work group then provided feedback. They worked through what they had, provided feedback. They revised the features, and we went through that process. It took us about a year and a half to get it to a point where it was actually functional and being able to report data on a daily basis. It took much longer than we expected it to. So as we look at this and we look at the outcomes of this, the left-hand column are some of our goals. So timely reporting. As I said, prior to the implementation of this, the school district, the health department was very actively engaged with their school district, and they both felt that it was really important to be able to do absenteeism reporting. But they just really could not exert the effort to do more than weekly reporting. Once we had the system up, as opposed to manually downloading the data on Friday afternoon and then analyzing it on Monday morning when the epidemiologist got back in the office, every morning when she walks into her office, she can turn on her computer and the report is sitting there for her to look at. And if there's no signals, that's all she has to do. If there's a signal, then she can go straight to working, doing the EPI investigation to figure out what went on. It is automated reporting was another one of our goals. Originally, it was manually exporting. The local health department had access to the school district's absenteeism data. That is not always possible. Lots of school districts do not share that with their local health department. But she was able to manually go in and export the data to the health department. With this system, there is an automated file transfer that the school can make to the system, that can be varied so that whoever is transferring that can limit what is actually transferred. Detection rules. Prior to this, they were using 2 standard deviations above the mean on the year-to-date average. And then we started then looking at this automated control chart. We added the 3 standard deviations plus those Western Electric rules that we implemented in this. Prior to the project, there was no dashboard for access to health information or health alerts. So if the epidemiologist identified something, then she had to work with somebody to get an alert, get it back to the school district, get it to other people. This is now in use by the local health department. They have not yet started to share it with the school district. They want to be able to work through a little bit about what they want the schools to do with an alert before they actually share it back to the school district. And that's something that we're working on to be able to look at whether or not, how we figure out what are the exact things that we want schools to do with that information once they have that information. The investigation, improved investigation, prior to the project, it was manual. It was incredibly time-intensive to do it, and now it's a reduced time. The epidemiologist, as I said, she just turns it on in the morning, and if there's no alerts or anything, then she just goes on with her day, and it doesn't take up the time. So this is what the homepage of the dashboard looks like. This is every school in the school district. Put my glasses on so I can see what this is. So this is every school in the school district for March 20th. This was a date that this was run. And you can see that these gray bars means that they are normal. And then there's a green, a red, an orange, and a yellow bar. And those are then alerts at those levels of the colors that are above. So it tells you what those colors mean. And then you can click on any one of these bars. And it gives you, it tells you what the school is and what the rate is for that day. In addition to that sort of table view, that graphic view, we also have these mapped so that we can look at, so the school district and the health department can look at this geographically. If you have schools in a cluster, in a geographic cluster, there may be something going on in that community that they might want to be looking at. And it gives you a lot of information about how many students are enrolled in the district, how many are absent on that day. It does talk about sick, how many of those absenteeisms are for sickness. We'll talk about that a little bit, what the rate is and what the historic rate is for the district at the district level. You can look at time trends. On this platform, this is the one up on the top is the district absenteeism trends over a 4-week time period, and the yellow line above the goldenrod, whatever that color is a district moving average. That's 2 sigma above the district moving average. The red line is the district moving average absenteeism rate. So that's the mean, but it is a moving average. So it varies with time. So it's slightly changed. And then the blue line is the actual absenteeism for each of those days. The bottom graph is looking at warning trends over, so looking at that same 4-week period and looking at what warnings. And you'll see that the majority of the warnings are the blue warnings, which is the lowest level of the next to the lowest level of warning for this, and that there were a couple of red warnings for this, and you can look at those. You might notice that, you know, we have these stacked, so if you've got only one school, you get just one, but then you can look at it, and so the higher, you know, the stack is, clearly that's telling you something that's going on. We don't get just those reports, but you also have the availability of all of the data is stored in the platform, and so you can drill down into any of the schools. It goes down to the classroom level. There are no names associated with it, but at least you can go down into the classroom level so that if you see something, you can look at, is it a single classroom? Is it multiple classrooms? What is going on? And you can work this. You can also download this file into Excel and do your analysis outside of the platform as well. So what are we doing with this? Well, currently, the health department and the school district are running this. It is now running. This is now the second school year that it's running it. We expect them to go through that. The school district is working on looking at adding a syndromic data capture. Currently, this is the data that is being entered by the absence office, the absenteeism office at the schools. They're working on the ability to get a better identification of why students are absent from school. Very few students actually report that. It's rarely reported, and so they are attempting to do a better job of that. They are looking at a parent portal for data reporting so that parents can report through the portal, whether through an app or through online portal to be able to report that. And we'd like to include a syndromic capture so that when they say they're sick, we can say, look at what symptoms that they have, so we can create some sort of syndromic parameters for what those absences are. That'll make this actually a much more powerful tool if school districts are able to do that. We do want to evaluate the school usage and the local health department usage. As I said, we are looking to do some focus groups to identify what are the best things that we want schools to do when there is a report, when something's happening. And we are open to adding sites. Actually, there's two things that we do. We actually have two additional sites in the state of Utah that are currently in the process of working with their local school districts to implement this. This app, this platform is actually free for implementation to anybody. There is a GitHub site. GitHub is a site where you can download software. You download it for free. It's got all the code is there for creating this at your own local site. Then if you have any changes for that, any revisions to that, you can just post it back to the GitHub site so that it continues to be a live process. So if you have good computer geeks that can do that, that's one way of doing it. The other way is to contact either me or Dr. Gren, who are the PIs for this. We are working with a programmer that developed this for us. And he's willing to add a couple additional pilot sites this year if he'll let us analyze and, you know, evaluate how the process went over this next year. So that's where we are. This was funded by the CDC as part of the Preparedness and Emergency Response Research Centers, which are now done. So all of that extra work we're looking for funding for to be able to continue to do. So thank you.